Thank you everyone for joining us today. Today is part three from our beloved Pastor Sim. He has shared with us on selected proverbs. And part one talking about relationships, part two talking about work. And today we will be talking about the wayward woman and the wonderful wife. And I really like his first two sermons, referencing a lot of proverbs that we already know, but putting a very fresh and relevant perspective to us. And I hope that this third part will encourage all of us. Pastor Sim, please.
Morning. Good morning. Is this on? For the past five times that I've been here, three times in July last year and the last 2 weeks, we have been studying the book of Proverbs topically, meaning we look at some key verses on a selected topic. And from these key verses, we formulate some basic principles or some basic lessons that we can learn from that topic. This morning, we want to look at an important relationship. Half the world is women. And we want to look at two types of women as we relate to them in life. Wayward woman and wonderful wife. Now, when we talk about women and wives, we need to think and talk about two related topics as well. Sexual immorality and marital faithfulness. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about women. Solomon deals extensively with, first of all, the wayward woman, the immoral woman who seduces men to commit sexual sin. To give you a feel of how important this topic is, Solomon actually devoted 10% of his Proverbs to women and to specifically this type of woman, the immoral woman. 10%, imagine. We have that in Proverbs 5, Proverbs 6, and Proverbs 7. Three chapters full of Proverbs just to warn us of the danger of sexual immorality and the need for marital fidelity and faithfulness. Sexual temptation and immorality is an important area of our lives. And therefore, it requires us to pay attention to, because they threaten and affect our moral purity and our godliness. Besides looking at the immoral woman, we will also be looking at women who are wives. And we will be talking about marital faithfulness. And actually, Proverbs talk to us about two kinds of wife. We have heard about the Proverbs 8:31 wife, right? That's the most famous Proverbs 31 wife. But have you heard of the Proverbs 21 wife? And we'll be looking at it in a short while. Now, Solomon is qualified to write about women because he writes from his own personal experience. If you look at 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3, we are told that he has 700 wives and 3,000 concubines. Here is a man who did not deny himself pleasures. But then there is a commentary and a judgment on his involvement with so many women. If you look at the last part of 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3, his wives led him astray. Solomon knew by experience how women can seduce and lead men into immorality and into sin, fracturing the man's relationship with his God. But more than just knowing the danger of wayward women, Solomon knew the price, the heavy price that comes with committing sexual sin. Because he had a perfect example in himself and then in his father. In his early life, he saw what sexual sin did to his own father, King David. Because we know that David committed adultery with his mother, Bathsheba, when she was still someone's wife. And this led to a pregnancy of a child who died on the moment he was born as a result of God's judgment. And of course, we are told that David repented much later, about a year later, married Bathsheba, and the second child was Solomon himself. And Solomon saw how his father was punished severely for his sexual sin. Although forgiven, David's reputation is ruined, because today we are still talking about David's sin and his disgrace as a king. David paid a very high price, and Solomon understood that, because he saw how his own family was destroyed because of sexual immorality, how sexual sin broke up his own family. His own brothers killed each other. His stepbrothers died miserable deaths because of God's judgment on David's sin. Now, you must understand that our first line of defense against the wayward woman, against sexual immorality, is to understand how attractive and appealing sexual sin is. You take, for example, Proverbs 5:3. Proverbs 5:3 from the New Living Translation. I use a lot of the New Living Translation because it is much easier to understand. While the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Verse 4, but in the end, she is as bitter as poison and as dangerous as double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. Now, if you don't pay attention carefully, Proverbs 5:3 warns of the consequences, the dire consequences of sexual immorality. In this world, you must expect to be sexually tempted throughout your whole life. And that's the reason why I'm dealing with this topic. Okay. Men particularly can deny that they are tempted, but you and I know that the temptations are out there 24/7. A colleague, a friend, a classmate who is not your wife, you get involved. We are tempted sexually before and even after you are married. And that's the reason why the only prevention and the only protection is that you be alert to this danger. Because letting your guard down is the first step of this slippery slope. When dealing with sexual temptation, complacency is the downward slope to failure and to sin. You need to understand this. If you are not alert and you are not aware and you are not on a heightened alert, you are on the way down the slippery slope. Solomon warns us to avoid sexual temptation. Keep away a far path. Proverbs 5:8. Keep to a path far from her. What it means is stay away from sexual temptation. Stay away from such women. Don't go near her door of the house. You see, the problem with us is that we, in bravado, try to get as near as possible. And before you know it, you are into the door. Solomon's solution is stay away from that door. In fact, stay away from the path that leads to the door. If you are involved in a relationship that is not right, and you're on that path, the way to get out is to choose a different path. But if you think you can go on that path and not sin, you are in danger. And Solomon lays out the terrible consequences of this if we don't pay attention to the temptation of sexual sin. There may be an instant gratification and pleasure. But you know that this is temporal, and this is not only transient, it's also very short-lived. Once the act is over, it is payment time. Payment time. And you will pay a very high price for that sin. Solomon knew how his father David suffered because of this. And Solomon says, highlight, I was amazed when I started studying this topic of consequences of sin, that the amount of effort that Solomon takes to highlight the consequences of immoral sin, sexual sin. And he spared no details. First of all, you will be dishonored. Your reputation will ruin. You will be a public disgrace. In Proverbs 5:9, if you do, you will lose your honor. In Proverbs 5:14, I've come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace. Financial consequences. There are financial consequences to your indiscretion or your sin. Strangers will consume your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruits of your labor. You end up paying very heavy price financially for your sin. Physical or medical consequences. Perhaps Solomon is referring to STD, sexually transmitted diseases. In Proverbs 5:11, in the end, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. It could be mental anguish, it could be guilt, it could be psychological disease that consumes you. But I think Solomon is talking about physical diseases that comes about from sexual sin. It is, at the end of the day, a life destroyed. So she seduced him, Proverbs 7:21, with a pretty speech and enticed him with her flattery. He followed her at once like an ox going to slaughter. You see, this man thinks that he is an ox. He's indestructible. You know how big is an ox, right? And how this indestructible within the ox is. But Solomon says, look, you're putting yourself for the slaughter. He's like a stag caught in a trap, verse 23, waiting to the arrow that will pierce his heart. He's like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing that it will cost him his life. This bird thought that he had the freedom to fly, and he flies straight into a trap that will take away his life. A life destroyed. The consequences are severe. You will continue to pay the price for a very long time. Your reputation will destroy. You face physical, mental, emotional torments. And you may suffer sexually transmitted diseases. AIDS even. Your life is destroyed. When it comes to dealing with sexual temptation, two modern proverbs spell out our response. Nip the problem in the bud. Prevention is better than cure. Because while you may be forgiven, you will be suffering the consequences for a long time. The book of Proverbs is actually very drastic when it comes to protecting yourself from the wayward woman. First of all, how do we protect ourselves? Drill into yourself, into your brains, into your heart, that there is only one outcome. There is no good outcome to begin with. And if you can understand this, grew this into your life. There is no good outcome because your life will be destroyed. Proverbs 7:21. He followed her at once like an ox going to the slaughter. That is the outcome. And in case you miss the message, you are like a stag caught in a trap. In case you still miss the message, okay, it is like a bird flying into a snare. Three metaphors to tell you that there is only one outcome. You are dead. Secondly, once you grew into yourself that there is no good outcome in your life, okay, you need to know and obey God's words. Proverbs 6:20, 23, 21. Proverbs 6:20. My son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instruction. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you. For their command is a lamp and their instruction is a light. And their corrective discipline is the way to life. It keeps you, mind you, Solomon talks about the word of God in relation to sexual temptation. It keeps you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the promiscuous woman. Many of us fall in this area because we don't keep God's word in our heart. We listen to the words, the speech of the promiscuous woman, rather than we listen to the words of our God. I leave it to you to read the rest of the Bible verses. So, know for sure there's only one consequence. You are dead. Secondly, the greatest protection that we can have is to know and keep God's word in our heart. The third is to flee from sexual temptation. Proverbs 5:8, stay away from her. Don't go near the door of her house. And Proverbs 7:25, don't let your hearts stray away towards her. Don't wander down her wayward path. Her house is the road to the grave. Her bedroom is the den of death. Again, to the first point, there is only one outcome, death. And if you know that the road leads to death, why are you walking on the same road? You see, we think we are very smart. But when it comes to women, we kiss our brains goodbye, knowing that it is not the right road to be on, and we still keep on that right, on that road. The Bible has only one word, one command when it deals with sexual temptations. Flee. Run. Not run towards, run from. Yeah. We men would like to say, let's run towards the temptation, because it's so gratifying. Run from 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. You see, when it comes to dealing with sexual immorality, the Bible's prescription is not to stay and fight it up. God knows us a lot better than we know ourselves. If you think you can stay and fight it, you're the stupidest person in the world, because you know you will lose. And that's the reason why, if you look at what the Bible prescribes for sexual temptation, is always to run from, flee, never to stay and fight. Flee from sexual immorality. And we see this in the example of Joseph. Joseph, the slave, and Potiphar's wife. She tried to seduce him. And what did Joseph did? What did Joseph do? He told Potiphar's wife, no, he cannot do this. And then what did he do next? Did he stay and try to reason out with Potiphar's wife? No, he ran out of the house. Don't stay on the same path. This is one temptation you can never win by staying behind. The sooner we realize this, the better protection you will have. Because this is one temptation you will always be weak against. don't kid yourself, man. I told myself I will not kid myself. I cannot win over this temptation if I stay behind and try to reason it out. I take a different path. Exercise self-control over your urges. Proverbs 5:22, an evil man is held captive by his own sins. There are ropes that catch and hold him. He will die for what? Lack of self-control. He will die for the lack of self-control. He will be lost because of his great foolishness. One of the reasons why I think we cannot stay and fight it out is because we don't have that self-control. Resist sexual temptation. We need to resist it. Don't lust after her beauty. Proverbs 6:25. Don't let her coy glances seduce you. And if that is not enough to protect and prevent us, you need to ingrain this into your life. God is watching you. For that momentary lapse that you think God is not watching you, you will sin. In Proverbs 5:20, why be captivated, my son, by an immoral woman, or fondle the breast of a promiscuous woman? In verse 21, for the Lord sees clearly what a man does. You can't get away from sexual sin. And you should not be surprised that Solomon makes it very clear that when you are committing sexual sin, God sees you. We don't read that when you steal, God sees you, right? Or when you tell a lie, God sees you. We don't have a Bible verse that says this. But when you commit sexual sin, here is the crunch. God sees you. Because God's will for us is sexual purity. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. God's will for our life is to be holy, so stay away from sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Paul connects the two about sexual sin, living holy lives, and self-control. And finally, keep your marriage vows. Sorry. Okay. Oops. Okay. Keep your marriage vow. Be faithful to your wife. The last thing that you need to do if you are married is to keep on reminding you. Keep your marriage vow. And that's the reason why we wear a ring. That's the reason why we wear a ring. Because every time you want to get your hands dirty, oh, I'm married. Wear a ring. Married men, please wear your ring. Married women, please wear a ring. You also tell people to stay away from you. You are married. I don't wear a ring because I'm widowed. And you see, you need to know, you need to have visible reminders that you are married. Keep your marriage vow, be faithful to the wife. Proverbs 5:15, drink water from your own well, share your love only with your wife. That's what it means. Have sexual pleasures only from your wife. And no one else. Why spill the water of your spring in the streets? By having sex with just anyone. You should reserve it for yourself, never share it with strangers. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She's a loving dear, a grateful doe. Let your breast satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by your love, by her love. You see, this is where you need to understand that when you are young, you marry the one you love. After marriage, you love the one you marry. Because if you don't keep romance and love in your marriage, you will stray. You marry the one you love. And once you are married, you love the one you are married. And Proverbs have a lot to say about the consequences. Again, when it comes to keeping your marital vows, this is a separate list of punishment from the earlier list that we look at it, which means that if you break your marital faithfulness, you are unfaithful, there are also severe consequences. If you are single, there are severe, and you commit sexual immorality, there are serious consequences. If you are married, the first set of consequences will apply to you, and this second set of consequences will also apply to you because you are of a different status, you are married. Understand this. Okay? I don't want to emphasize too much. I cannot overemphasize too much about the consequences of committing adultery. This is the list of committing adultery. The earlier list is the consequences for committing sexual immorality. So, be warned. Proverbs is very clear and very severe when it comes to punishment for committing sexual sin and for committing adultery. Be prepared to face the consequences if you don't want to heed this warning. Now, after warning us of the danger of the wayward woman, Proverbs now turn to the attention of another group of women that we will deal with, that we have to relate to, the women who are married, the wonderful wife that we think that Proverbs is speaking about. Solomon speaks very highly of the marital relationship and very highly of wives, faithful wives. Solomon says that marriage is good for us. Proverbs 18:22. This was a verse given to me when I was still single. You know, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receive favor from the Lord. So Proverbs have very high regard for the marital relationship. If you are married, you are living in a favorable position with God. You find a good treasure. That's what NLT says. Your wife is a treasure that you find because it is a blessing from the Lord. And you must see that your wife is a very special gift, a treasure from God. In Proverbs 19:14, houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife or an understanding wife, according to NLT, is from the Lord. And so those of you who have an understanding wife, a prudent wife, you are much favored by the Lord. And this is where the standard of women, wife must aspire to be a wife who is prudent, to be a wife who is understanding. The married life, therefore, must be a continuous source of blessing from the Lord. And that is why Solomon tells us in Proverbs 5:18. Proverbs 5:18, let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. You and I are to enjoy this blessed life that you have of a lifelong marriage, even after your youth is gone. Solomon encourages marriage partners to be a crown for your spouse. In Proverbs 12:4, a worthy wife, a wife of noble character. That's what NIV says. A worthy wife is a wife of noble character, is a crown for her husband, but take note of the contrast, but a disgraceful woman is like cancer in his bones. And now we are into a comparison between a worthy wife, a wife of noble character, and a disgraceful wife, a disgraceful woman. First of all, crowns. You wear a crown because crown signifies that you are honored. Crown holds special places of honor on the person who is wearing it. And therefore, men, husbands, you need to know that your wife is your crown. It is an opportunity for you to honor the marriage relationship. Husbands, you need to make your wife a crown that you are proud to wear to show off to the world. Solomon has 700 wives. He must have encountered all kinds of wives in his life. With 700 wives, he knows that there are various categories of wives. And he distinguished two types of wives already. The worthy wife, in Proverbs 12:4, he talks about a worthy wife, a wife of noble character who is a crown to the husband, and a disgraceful wife, who is cancer to the husband. In Proverbs, there are two categories of wife. Disgraceful wife, which is the Proverbs 21 wife, and the wife of noble character, which is the Proverbs 31 wife. We are more familiar with the Proverbs 31 wife, right? In fact, you would be, I think your young adults is going to study this, right? The Proverbs 31 wife. But let's look at Proverbs 21 wife first. Because Solomon speaks of the quarrelsome, nagging wife. Proverbs 21:9. Better to live on the corner of a roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. I think Solomon has got some humor there. Okay? It's better to go to one corner of the roof, hide somewhere, than to share a big house with a quarrelsome, contentious, fault-finding wife. Proverbs 21:19. Better to live in the desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging. Or in another Bible version, the quick-tempered, hot-tempered, complaining wife. The Proverbs 21 wife has this characteristic: contentious, fault-finding, quick-tempered, hot-tempered, complaining. And therefore, living with the Proverbs 21 wife can be very challenging. Proverbs 19:13, a quarrelsome wife is like the constant dripping of a leaking roof. Today, we don't have leaking roof. Last time when I was living in the kampong, okay, at that house, when it rains, you put a pillar underneath that roof, and that roof will tip, 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 tip. That's the picture that Solomon gives to us. A quarrelsome wife, Proverbs 27:15, is as annoying as constant dripping on a rainy day. This is a quarrelsome wife, is an irritable, annoying wife. And Proverbs 27:16 says it is not possible to restrain such a wife. The nagging continues on. What you need to know is that the Proverbs 21 wife destroys the fabric of the family. And this is Solomon tells us not to be this kind of wife, to avoid becoming a naggy, quarrelsome, irritable, and complaining wife, because it destroys the family. Because as water destroys the physical structure of a home, Proverbs 21 will ruin and destroy the very structure of the family. It's a very slow process of erosion. You know, soil erosion, right? Soil erosion is because of water. And very soon, the whole hill slope will collapse. In contrast to this Proverbs 21 wife, is given to us, as I said, to guide women, wives, to avoid being this Proverbs 21 wife. And in contrast to the Proverbs 21 wife, Solomon ends the book. The whole book, interestingly, the whole Proverbs, by asking the million-dollar question. And what is the million-dollar question? Proverbs 31:10, a wife of noble character, who can find? That's a million-dollar question. A wife of noble character, who can find? Or if you look at the New Living Translation, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? And this is where I think all women must aspire to be. Avoid Proverbs 21's wife, be the Proverbs 31 wife. And here, the richest man on earth, Solomon, can say this in Proverbs 31:10. She's worth far more than rubies. She's worth far more than all the money that I have. Those of you who are in this kind of blessedness of a wife of noble character, you can say with certainty that your wife is priceless. Virtuous, capable, far more worth than material wealth. And that's the reason why Proverbs says you wear your wife as if you are wearing a crown, because your wife is that precious. I will not go into detail of Proverbs 31 wife, because it's a sermon by itself. And if you want to know further, join the workshop that is being held in the church. But I want to close with a reminder to men. Why men? Because if men are more liable to stray, although there are women who stray, but it is the men who often stray. And we have to choose very wisely. First of all, we must make it a point to keep away from the wayward woman. Any relationship that is a threat to sexual morality, any relationship that is a threat to the family relationship, to your marital life, choose a different path. That must be the given solution. If you find that you like spending a lot of time with another woman who is not your wife, you are on the wrong path already. That's the reality of life. That's the reality of life. Keep in mind your marriage vows. Make it a point to be faithful to your wife. As I said, you marry the one you love and you love the one you marry. The two are the same coin. Many a time we marry the one we love, and then after 5 years of marriage, you don't love the one you marry anymore. You seek pleasures and comfort from elsewhere. I want to say a word to wives, to women who will be wives, who are already wives, and who will be future wives. There are two models that you can pattern yourself after. Two models, not just the Proverbs 31. Okay, while you strive towards to be the Proverbs 31 wife, you need to strive not to be the Proverbs 21 wife. It takes effort not to be the Proverbs 21 wife, the nagging, irritable, complaining wife. How do we become the Proverbs 31 wife? That's the fundamental question. And I want to say this publicly so that the men can help the wives to be the Proverbs 31 wife. Actually, it's very simple. It is very simple. The last word of advice in the book of Proverbs gives to all men is this. Who is the Proverbs 31 wife? Is the one, is the wife who fears the Lord. Look at Proverbs 31 verse 30. The book of Proverbs ends with this. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last. But a man, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. The fear of the Lord is how you become the Proverbs 31 wife. And we are back to what makes for a godly man. What makes for a godly man is his fear of the Lord. When you fear the Lord, everything else rearranges itself, subject to your fear of the Lord. And that's the reason why I pray for my two unmarried daughters. I still have got two unmarried daughters, that they will find a man who fears God. Because if you can find a man who fears God, everything falls, rearranges itself. And the wife would be able to be a Proverbs 31 wife. A wife who fears God as well. Because you set the example. When the husband fears the Lord, it is easy for the wife also to fear the Lord. And you will have a marriage, and then you will have a family that will also fear the Lord. Let's just pray. Father, we ask that you help us as we conclude our study on the wisdom from the book of Proverbs. And today, Lord, we want to come before you to tell you, Father, that we want to live the life of moral purity. A life that will fight sexual temptation. A life that will keep our life free from moral and sexual immorality. Help us, Father, to live a pure life. Help us, Father, for those of us who are married, to be a man or a woman who fears you. Because only then can we learn, are we able to live a life of moral purity. We pray, Father, that those of us who are married, who have our wives, will honor our marital vows and to remain faithful. And each time, Lord, when we are tempted to stray with our eyes, with our thoughts, with our fantasies, we pray, Father, that Lord, your word will bring us back onto the right path. We want to please you, Father. And we want to please you by living a life that fears you. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray.